All right, going to be in Joshua chapter 5. I didn't get back with William. See, William's a rookie at filling in the video stuff, and so he doesn't know, like Eileen, see, she comes and gets me. If I don't give her my notes, she tracks me down like a dog, and she gets William. He doesn't know to do that yet, so he'll just have to do it like the old days, amen? Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. Give you a second to get there. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." Heavenly Father, thank you again for our ability to be here, a place to meet, a roof over our heads, Lord, the comforts, all the blessings that we have that you've provided for us, Lord. And now I pray as we've met, we've fellowshiped some, and Lord, we want to meet with you, a fellowship with you. Speak to our hearts tonight through your word. And we'll thank you in advance for what you do. In Jesus' name, I pray. The world, the flesh, and the spirit. That's the title of the message. The world, the flesh, and the spirit. When we bringing you up to speed here, Israel had left Egypt and they had got to Kadesh Barnea, where they were about to cross over the Jordan 40 years before, and they sent the spies over to the land, over to look, and they came back with a bad report. And, you know, Caleb and Joshua said, "Hey, let's go." And, you know, the other spies said, "Well, you know, there was giants over there, walled cities, and multitudes of them." And, of course, we know they didn't go in. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years until everybody that was 20 years and up died off, the people that didn't have faith. And so, except for Caleb and Joshua, they didn't die, and they were over that age by then. But now those years have passed, and now they've come back up to the Jordan River. And as a matter of fact, they've actually, at this point, they have crossed over the Jordan River. They've got over into the Promised Land. They haven't taken Jericho yet. They're about ready to do that. But they got over to the land of Canaan. You know, spiritually speaking, I've spoke about this before, spiritually it's the place in this life, Canaan is always the place in our Christian life that God is trying to get us to, he's leading us to, and we can get there. We can just as simple as stepping out by faith, we get to this place that God wants us to be in this Christian life on this earth. Not heaven. Canaan's not heaven because there's battles to fight there. We're not going to have any battles to fight in heaven, so we know it doesn't picture that. It's just the place of faith and trust and believing God that we can walk into victory, have the victory, because, boy, the battles when they trusted God, like Jericho, they just trusted him and they won the fight. They won the battle. When they disobeyed, they lost. Ai was proof of that. And so this is the place that we can get to. We understand that. And so, when they got over there, now I didn't read it, but up above that, it tells that they had a circumcision. Now there's no indication that during the 40 years of wilderness and the children were being born that they ever circumcised any of the males. And then it said that they held the Passover. And so the two things are, and I'll talk to you about that in a moment, but it really pictures this. In other words, They got over to this place. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, which I said this would kind of back up the message for this morning. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and now that they've got to this place, there's some things that had to be put in order. Things that they neglected during the years that they wandered around in the wilderness. This thing here driving me crazy, man. And it's just an aggravating thing. Let me see if I can get it in the right spot. It's just got to be just so on my collar or it won't work. All right, we'll see. Let me know if that thing gets hanging down. There's things that have to be put in order. When we as Christians, listen, if you're wandering around in the wilderness as a Christian, in other words, you're not getting to the place God wants you to be, and you know what your life can look like. We talked about that some this morning. Trust me, there's some things in your life that needs to be put in order. There's just things that have to be put in order. And our text, there's going to be three words that we're going to use tonight by way of points. The three words in particular that I want you to look at, we're going to look at it. And those are going to kind of be involved in the points that I want to make. One of the words is verse 10. You see, it says they kept the Passover. Passover is the word, the Passover. Up in verse 12, it mentions the manna. And in verse 11, it mentions the old corn. It mentions the old corn. And I'll show you spiritually those three things. The Passover kind of has a connection to the world. The manna has a connection to the flesh. And the old corn has a connection to the spirit. And I'll show you how that works out. There's some neat stuff in these small verses right here. So number one, the world. Number one, the world. Well, where did the Passover take place? The Passover took place, we know they had been slaves in Egypt. Egypt in the Bible usually always represents world being lost. When we were in Egypt, and Israel's in slavery in Egypt. That's one of the reasons why it's a great picture of being lost. The slavery, a sin, being a slave to sin. They cried out to God for deliverance, the need of salvation. There's a picture. There's a lot of things that are a picture of salvation. And of course, you know, God sent Moses to be a deliverer, who in type is Christ, is a type of Christ. It pictured Christ coming to lead them to, out of the world, out of Egypt, leave that. And so God sent Moses. And then the night before they left, you know, God instituted the Passover. Everything pointed to Christ. All the things. Moses pictured Christ. The lamb without blemish, without spot, a picture of Christ. There's no bones was to be broken of the lamb. Pictured Christ on the cross. Remember, they didn't break his bones like they usually did for somebody that was crucified because he had given up his spirit, his self. Then they had to take the blood and they put that on the doorposts and over the lintel, the piece over top of the door, which is, you know, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and life. I'm the door." He even said that about himself. "I'm the door. This is the way." The way to salvation was to put faith in Christ, stay in the house, inside the house. And they went in. So, you know, all that stuff, a lot of us, we know that. We've been saved a long time. We've heard that. And then the blood applied on that. You know, of course, the blood is applied. And all these things were done by faith. God said, do it. They did it by faith. This doesn't seem like the way to win the battle, but that's what God said to do. Really, it wasn't really like works on man's part. It was still a faith thing. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of work to do any of these things. It's just being obedient to what God said. So Egypt kind of really pictures, in a way, the lost condition of man, enslaved by sin, unable to do anything about that. And so the Passover kind of had a connection to that. When they celebrate, the Jews celebrate Passover, they're celebrating that deliverance from Egypt. Boy, celebrating salvation from what? Being lost. You know, the lost condition. We would look at it that way. But here's the problem. They had faith to get out of Egypt, but they didn't have faith to get in to the land of Canaan. You know, I don't know which one of them looks harder. I mean, you know, really, look which one of those two things look more difficult. It looks more difficult to get out of Egypt. Man, you had a physical enemy that you could see. You were already enslaved. You were trapped. And, you know, you had to trust God. I mean, here's the directions for getting out. Kill a lamb without blemish, without spot, put his blood on the doorpost. Had to eat. He had to eat the lamb. You had to roast it with fire. That pictures judgment that Jesus took, the crucifixion. And then eating the lamb means taking Christ into your very being. And what does food do? It gives you life. It sustains your life. Everything. There's so many things that are a type of Christ. You know, you might miss some of them along the way. But that's part of that lamb. I mean, that was a pretty simple thing, right? That looks easier than having to go over into Jordan and not sure. River was at flood stage when they got ready to go. And they had to go over walled cities and all that. But that same God. You know, listen, the same God. And so here it is. Well, here we are. Maybe you're wandering around in the wilderness. Why? Why are you wandering around the wilderness? Same God that saved you gets you from wilderness to the promised land, right? So it pictures that. Well, then we see the second thing. That's really not my main point, but it leads us up to the other points. The flesh. 11 and 12, it said, they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. They didn't eat it anymore. And I'm going to talk about the old corn in the next point, but the manna, it ceased on the next day. You know, manna was it's a little white-looking bread. Said it tastes like kind of like honey. I'm sure God made it. I'm sure it tasted great. You know, it was probably some of the best, you know, bread there ever was. But what happened when they got manna? Here they were. They had been delivered out of Egypt. And they started eating this manna every day. You know how it worked? They had to go out. They got it every day. And on the Sabbath, they collected twice as much. And that was the only day that there would be anything left over for the next day. Because, you know, they didn't collect it on the Sabbath day, but before the Sabbath day, there wouldn't be anything left over. But the rest of the time, they couldn't save any of it. It's kind of all that is a picture of our relationship with Christ. You know, you can't just worship Christ today and it's going to last all week. You have to have a relationship all week long. You know, it's that picture right there. But boy, what a great thing. Provision of God every day. There it was. It was just on the ground. How much work did you have to do? You just went out there and picked it up and put it in your basket and came on back in. You had the bread, right? So, I mean, it was great. It was a great thing. But wasn't long. You remember, if y'all know your Bible, you know the story. What'd they do? They started complaining. It's like I tell people like this. If you was giving everybody a pound of gold every day, after a while, they'd start complaining about it. You think, I know that. Yeah. Man, I got to haul that old heavy gold back to the house. And I'm telling you, man, my sciatica is just giving me a fit. And I just don't know. I just can't do it. Everybody, that's what we mean. Oh, another pound of gold. That's how human nature is. That's how we are, right? So here it was. They started complaining. And what did they want? Oh, we remember back in Egypt. We remember when we was back in Egypt, boy. We had all them vegetables and onions and leeks, I think, whatever they are. we had all these things. Melons, I think they mentioned. We had all that good food. They didn't talk about the fact, yeah, but you were slaves, man. At one point, you was making bricks with no straw. You had to go out and get the straw yourself. You were slaves. You didn't remember that. They didn't remember. See, this is what happened. So we look. So you know, what's that? That's the picture of people that are saved, and they keep looking. Boy, I remember, man. I sure miss going down to the honky-tonk on Friday night. Man, they had the best bands down there singing that country music, and, man, we could just flat foot, boy. Huh? Old David, man, you'd be ready, buddy, huh? David can't flat foot. He can only flat foot one foot right now. Huh? Oh, you remember, you know, if we just remember that, boy, that sure was fun. And you start longing after that stuff that was back in the world. See, so the manna reminded them of that. Even though it's a picture of Christ as well. Everything about the manna, if I wanted to have a breakdown on that, but I don't want to, right this minute. But everything about the manna was a type of Christ. But at the same time, it had a remembrance for those people, because they remembered, they had this appetite for that old world that they came out of. Okay, guess where were they at when they had that appetite? Wandering around the wilderness, right? Every Christian that's wandering around the wilderness has that same appetite. They remember them old places, them old haunts, them old habits, them old vices, huh? Everything's just a calling, huh? Boy, wouldn't you like to, you know, and I could name a million things off. Like I talked about this morning, this is what they had a taste for. And so many Christians, too many Christians, any is too many, but too many living in that place right there. They're saved. I'm not doubting some of those salvation, not all of them, but people that are saved, and they just hadn't got the, you know, they got taken out of the world, but they hadn't got the world taken out of them. Huh? They was out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. And that's a bad place to be. They weren't happy, of course. What'd they do? They grumbled and they murmured, is the Bible word. Murmured, man, they were complaining about what God is doing. Well, if they had listened to him, they wouldn't have been wandering around needing manna to start with, right? If they had listened to him, say they're only getting half of the deal. They're not getting they're less than half than that. So they grumbled and they complained. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Now, that's in Colossians, and why did that have to be telling us that in the New Testament? Because we still have a tendency to set our affections on the things of the world and not the things of Christ. And set your affection there. And so that, on the one hand, that manna reminded them of their desire to go back to Egypt. Another picture is, here's another picture, and this is more of a spiritual thing, but the manna is a picture of Christ in his humiliation after the flesh, in his flesh, giving his flesh that we might be saved. John 6, 48 through 51. I can read it for you here. I got my Bible marked for it. John 6, 48 says, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. In other words, that manna didn't do them any good. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So the manna reminded them somewhat of himself, really in his humility, and I'll elaborate on that in a minute. But he's also telling them there, like, get your mind off that manna and get your mind on me, the real thing. They're moving on. See the progression? They just had types. And, of course, in the Old Testament, it was leading up, it was going to be a while, but they was just types of Christ. They weren't Christ. Don't worry about the manna. Huh? Something better. I'll show you what's better. And it was going to, leading all the way up to the New Testament times, and Jesus came himself. But the deep picture is this. If we're only occupied with Christ on earth, if we only got that vision in our mind, if we see that, crucified through weakness. Second Corinthians 13:4 mentions that. Crucified through weakness. In other words, and we know Christ wasn't weak in that sense, but it was his flesh, the weak flesh. His bodily, he died. He gave himself up. He gave himself for that. Crucified through weakness. We're going to have a tendency to live in the wilderness experience. So many people think about, when they think about Jesus, how does Jesus appear in your mind, your mind's eye? At Christmas time, we are wrapped up around the baby in a manger. Jesus as a baby in a manger. People see him that way. And then at Easter time, we think about the crucified Christ. And we talk about the crucifixion and we have crosses. There's some denominations that still have Christ on the cross. Now, their motive may be, I don't know the mind of everybody, but their motive may be, well, we want to remember what Jesus did for us too. But I want, and that's we should, and that would be what the cross would mean to us, but I like the empty cross because he didn't stay there. Huh? He's not, so we don't want to be so just preoccupied with the dying Jesus, in other words. We don't want to be preoccupied with the baby Jesus. We need to get a vision of Christ sitting in the heavenlies in power, and we get the vision of him there, and that's going to get us into living in the promised land. We're going to get to that place. The other parts, we're going to stay in the wilderness experience more than likely. I just know, and there's a lot of things that could be compared or said about the flesh in the Bible, but I know this. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The Bible tells us that. And that walking in the Spirit's going to take us to a place that the flesh cannot take us. We have to walk. Walking in the flesh will never get us there. We have to walk in the Spirit. Do you know why, and this is a good point, and I thought about this a lot. Do you know why Moses wasn't allowed? Joshua led him over in the promised land. Moses died, if you back up just a little bit, the death of Moses. You know why Moses wasn't allowed to take the Israelites into the promised land? All right, well, let's think about it. So that's the general, that's the basic thing. He lost his temper. Well, he didn't break the tablets. That wasn't it. He smote the rock. There was a rock that they got water out of, and Jesus told him the first time, I want you to smite it. That's the crucified Christ. The second time, he said, I want you to speak to the rock. That's how you get saved. You speak to the rock. Crucifixion was a smiting. Salvation is a speaking. But Moses, believe it or not, his congregation drove him over the brink. I can relate to this. He got mad at them. He got mad because they was whining and complaining. Remember that? And he smote the rock again. All right, so that, well, was he sinless before that? Okay, but God said, okay, you're not going to leave me in. But there's a deeper picture. There's a deeper picture. When he became angry, what is that? It's the flesh. That's the flesh. That's what gets angry, right? It's the flesh. And so Moses represents Israel in the flesh. And flesh is never going to lead you into the promised land. This is the real reason why Moses didn't get to lead him into the promised land. He pictured, you know, Moses a lot of times represents the law. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about Moses gave you the law when really God gave us the law. We know that. It's just the way the terminology is. Moses didn't give us the law himself. He got it from God and they gave it to him. But the flesh will never take you to the promised land. The flesh can't lead you to the place that God wants you to get. The flesh is leading you the other way. The flesh is leading you back to Egypt. And he represents Israel and the flesh. And then the second reason is what I just mentioned. He also represented the law. And guess what? The law is not going to lead you into the promised land either. The law won't get you there. See, it's all bad. Is the law good? Yes, it is. The law is absolutely good. But should we obey the law? Yeah, we should obey the law. But we don't obey the law to get to the promised land. We surrender to Christ and we'll get to the promised land. And in doing so, we will obey the law because we're following Christ. It's a reverse thing. In other words, the law doesn't produce holiness. Holiness produces obedience. That's what's really meant right there. And so flesh and law can't get us there. And oh man, so many times I think about my life as a Christian in the old, I was just thinking when we were singing there, I was staring out the window, thinking about my days when I first got saved. Maranatha Baptist Church, Amosville, Virginia. Amosville, so it's got the sign name on both sides of the post. You're there. They had no entering and leaving. You know, it's in the middle of the four-lane median, Amosville. It's that big. Oh, however wide the post is, that's it. You're just there, you know. But we weren't even there. The church was back down the road, you know, several miles from there. But it was called Amosville, Virginia. Maranatha Baptist. Danielle was just a little girl. I was sitting there thinking about that, the old days in the church, man. In a way, I miss those days. But what I don't miss is struggling, trying to be holy, obedient. I probably didn't even use that term. I probably wouldn't have said I'm trying to be holy. I'm trying to be a good Christian by doing, keeping everything, you know, in my own strength, though, in the flesh. How'd that turn out? Not too good. Huh? Not too good. If they knew what I knew, they'd thrown me out of church. Huh? But I mean, you know what? I hung in there. I made myself go to church. Didn't want to go. A lot of times I didn't want to go. I can't say it always. I always got a blessing when I got there, though. But you know the battle. You know the battle. Somebody say, yeah, kind of like tonight. I didn't want to be here either. I mean, it was just such a battle, right? But I didn't surrender. I was really in the wilderness. And I couldn't get to the promised land. And I was trying to get to the promised land. And so the law couldn't get me there. And the flesh couldn't get me there either. Neither one. I couldn't get there until when I finally waved the white flag and said, God, I just can't do it. I can't do nothing about it. I don't know what you're going to do about it. I don't know. I just can't get there. I just give up. Hallelujah. I can hear God now. Hallelujah. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. Just give up. Huh? Just give up. Huh? Just give up and follow me. Romans 8, 3 and 4 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, there it is, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, see, it is good, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I read that plenty of times when I was a new Christian. I read it, but I didn't get it. Not like now. Now I know experientially what that is right there. Didn't get there. It's the Spirit. We got to walk at the Spirit. Point three, the Spirit. The old corn. Do you ever wonder about that? Have you ever looked into this? Said, and they did eat the old corn. I wonder why I said the old corn. Why are they talking about the old corn? They ate the old corn. What's the difference, you know, in the new corn, the old corn? Well, I mentioned before, like I said, circumcision, Passover. Like I said, no indication that either was ever done in the wilderness years. They didn't do either, any of those. In our text, when they celebrated Passover right here in the text I read to you, our text tonight, it was only the third time that they'd ever had Passover. They had Passover in Egypt the night that they were leaving. They had Passover at Kadesh Barnea the first time they got there, but they didn't go over. And then this time when they went over, they had Passover. That's only the third time that they had it. And I said before, like I said, the things of God get neglected and really probably not allowed by God when we're walking in the wilderness. In verse 11, though, it says they did eat of the old corn of the land and they would no longer eat manna. They ate manna one time and that was it. Well, what's the old corn? Well, here's what it is. And God had promised them this all this time, way back there. This is it. This is a great picture of Christ, and this is a great picture of the promised land. The old corn of the land, see, you remember when they went to Rahab? This might refresh your memory better than anything. Remember when the spies went and they talked to Rahab? It hadn't happened yet in our text. It's ahead. When they went and talked to Rahab, she said, boy, we have heard about you guys. You know, I'm going to have to paraphrase. We have heard about everything and how you've defeated the kings, these other kings and everything. And boy, we are really afraid. And she made a deal. She hid the spies and all that, but said, we have heard about it. Well, guess what? She wasn't the only one that heard about it. Everybody heard about it. And what happened was when they went over, when they got down to the Jordan River, and the Jordan River is not, it isn't like 50 miles wide. It's just a little ditch going down through, but it's deep. And they got down there to the Jordan River and all them people, well, guess what? People that lived over there, not everybody lived inside the walled cities. They didn't have their farms and stuff in there. They were outside the walled cities, and they had their barns and all that sitting out there on the land. And they said, here they come, and they took off, and guess what? They walked right over in there, and guess what? There was barns full of the corn from last year's harvest. I think this was about the time of the new stuff growing. The barns was full. Full of the corn from last year, from the harvest last year, the old corn. Barns full. How easy is that? Not works, faith. Man, they walked in and there they are. Barns full. We're going to eat corn, man. We don't have to have manna any longer. Why? Because Christ is the provision. It's a picture of Christ again. He's the provision. Everything had been there. It would have been that way 40 years before that if they had went in. Them people would have fled the same, just the same. And all that here they were, they was out there enjoying all that corn. Everything was supplied. Christ is our supply. He's got everything we need. We don't have to do anything but go in and get it. That's the old corn. What a difference. This is the Spirit right here. This is walking in the spiritual life. You're not lost. You're not in the wilderness any longer. But boy, you have got to that spiritual place where by faith you have followed Christ and you have got to that place. And he said, here it is. Here's the blessing. Just like I promise, I'll provide everything you need. And truth be known, he supplies more above and beyond what we need. We all got more than we need. Huh? We all got a lot more than we need. We get by with a whole lot less, right, than what we need. So, boy, there it is, man. What a provision. Everything Jesus has, everything. All we have to do is by faith step out of the wilderness into the place of spiritual rest. Trust and claim it. Just think about that. They didn't even have to build the barns. Everything was there, ready to go. As a matter of fact, not only that, the new crops, I think, at this time were probably planted or being planted. They're going to reap the harvest of that without even growing a thing. Jesus said in John 12:24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, Jesus Christ, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Huh? Isn't that an odd thing about a grain? Jesus died, he went into the ground, he died, he brought forth much fruit. And guess what? If self got to die too to bring forth much fruit. Remember when, how many of you here been some years ago and I got everybody a piece of corn, old dry hard corn, remember that? Deader than a doornail, right? Ain't no sign of life in it. You can put it in a bag, that thing will sit there for 100 years. Plant it, but water that thing. It's amazing that life comes out of that, isn't it? Some of y'all took them home. I think Speedy was here this morning. I think Speedy said he put his in a thing and grew a stalk up out of it. Some people plant it, and it'll work. That's it. So they celebrated Passover. And in the next day, you know what happens the next day after Passover when they celebrate it? It was after Sabbath. The next day was the Lord's Day. And in Hebrew economy, they had what they called a wave offering. Guess they didn't know it, but it pictured resurrection. It was a picture of resurrection. When did it happen? The day after the Sabbath. What's the day after Sabbath? The first day of the week. What day did Jesus resurrect on? First day of the week. Why do we have church on Sunday? It's first day of the week. Celebrating what? Not his death so much, but his resurrection. It's the resurrection, the resurrection day. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. That don't happen in the wilderness. That happens in the promised land. That happens in Canaan. Man, I mean, this is the real stuff right here. This is it. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's the power. He was sown in weakness, but he was resurrected in power. We can't live only on the wilderness side, on the crucified side. We got to move ahead to the forgetting those things that are behind. That verse there doesn't mean that you forget about them. It just means you move past them, reaching to those things that are before us. Manna and the crucifixion. I mean, it's all that was the crucifixion's needed, sure enough. But that side is really the Bible speaks about. You know, we wanted to talk to you about spiritual things, but we weren't able to do that. And so you can only take the milk of the word. That's the milk of the word. What's the meat? The resurrected life. The milk is the crucified. You know, being saved. That's just the basics. A lot of people get there. Man, I got saved, boy, and that's it. What happens? Man, they just talking about got saved. That's it. We don't stay there on Salvation Day. It's a great day. But we don't stay just there. We got born again, right? We were born again, but we don't stay a baby. If you stayed a baby, something's wrong with you. So what happens? That's the milk. That's the basics. Hey, you're a sinner, man. Everybody knows that, right? And so you you need salvation and you call out Jesus and you know that he died on the cross and that he can save you. But boy, walking in the resurrected life, this is the milk or the meat of the word, not the milk of the word. This is the meat, man, walking in the power of the resurrection. Now you got to find some things out about that. That's what Israel was doing. That was the picture of it. Huh? They got out of Egypt. That was just salvation. Jesus took them off, and right off the bat, they were even complaining about the ways and means that Jesus was moving them through the wilderness to the promised land. Took them 40 years. I'll tell you what, I know a lot of Christians take them about the same amount of time. Take them about the same amount of time to get to the promised land, right? So the old corn, that resurrected life, that's the meat of the word. So we need it. What we really need, this is what we need to do. We got to get a vision. We've got to get a vision of Christ in the heavenlies, in power, if we're going to dwell in the promised land to get us to the promised land. This is it. Yeah, Jesus died for us, but he didn't stay in the grave. Huh? He moved on. Huh? He didn't stay in the grave. He didn't keep the grave clothes on either. He got rid of those. That's dragging those old things behind, that old life. That stuff stays in the grave. It's gone. It's a new life. Huh? But you got to picture Christ in power, seated in the heavenlies. Boy, make an intercession for us. Jesus prays for you. That ought to be a pretty exciting thing right there. What do you think he's praying about? Woo, huh? What do you think he's praying about? He's trying to get you to a place. He's trying to get you walk on this earth. Huh? He's not. you know, he's not worried about where we're going to be for eternity and all those things. And he's praying for us in this life. And that's a powerful thing to think about. How do you see him? How do you see Christ? Where are you walking around at? Are you in the wilderness still? Are you lost? Are you still in Egypt? Are you walking around in the wilderness? You got saved, but man, you're out there in the wilderness and there's a bunch of things that need to be set in order in your life? Or have you seen Christ and you've apprehended, reckoned yourself raised with him, talks about in Romans. Have you reckoned that? You believe it. It's true. And you're walking in the power of a resurrected life. That's the place. That's the place that God's trying to get each and every one of us to. I don't know where everybody's at, but that's where he's trying to get you to. Amen? All right, Paul, come on in. We'll have an invitation. Amen. That's good stuff right there. The old corn. The old.